You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Amani, good morning and welcome to this time and this place, both those who are here geographically present and those who are present digitally listening later in the day. Welcome, my name is Nicholas Rundle and I'm a Uniting Church Minister, and we begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people as the traditional owners of the lands of the Adelaide Plains. We acknowledge their elders, past, present and emerging, their spiritual connection with the land. We also acknowledge our own ancestors and forebears. And today our theme is reinventing the wheel. It's the time of the turning of seasons. It's All Saints and All Souls. Did you know that the two largest Universalist churches in America are dedicated to All Souls? So it's a time to remember and to give thanks. But first of all, we're going to hand over to those who have any news to share. So if you'd like to come forward and give out any announcements, perhaps picking up the radio microphone just here to my left.
I just wanted to point out a couple of things that are on here. The AGM is coming up soon on the 28th of November. So I've already put the nomination form in the foyer. So hopefully there's a few people who might be interested in sitting on the Committee of Management. There's also technically the treasurer positions coming available this year too. If anyone would like to at least dip their feet in the water, there's a place for that as well. It's on the little bench just inside the door. And related to that, subcommittee conveners or coordinators need to send me their annual reports by the 15th. And one little mistake on here, the moving meditation is at 2 o'clock on Mondays now.
As I've mentioned, our theme is reinventing the wheel. It's an idiom suggesting a kind of negative comment to suggest that what we're doing is unwanted or unnecessary. But I thought it might spur our thinking. We have the Global Climate Change Conference coming up, and it's also Halloween, you may have noticed, based on the Christian feasts of All Saints and All Souls. So as we curve into new seasons, as spring gives way to summer, borders prepare to open, the future beckons. So let us gather in gratitude and remember spiritual ancestors, grieve for those who have died, and reflect on the inner call to reinvent who we are. And our first slide that we have here is of the Rainbow Covenant. And Norm Harbel is a Lutheran pastor here in Adelaide. He talks about a mission to earth to read the Bible, discerning the voices of earth. To meditate on as we hear the mindfulness bell, we have a picture of the Falkirk Wheel in Scotland, not too far from where the conference will take place. It was created in the year 2002, and it raises a distance between two canals by 24 metres into the air. It's a reinventing the wheel, replacing seven locks. Its movements is 35 metres of wheels and cogs, rotating or lifting boats using the forces of nature. It represents reinventing the wheel, humanity, ingenuity, harmony. Brenton is our musician today, and I think, Brenton, you're going to introduce our three Tchaikovsky pieces, are you not?
Be happy to. The first piece is from the season of summer, and it is The Harvest.
Thank you, Brenton. And Tchaikovsky is one who sought to combine the European and the Slavic spirit. And later in our service, we'll be hearing about another writer and creative genius who attempted to do that. Turning to our printed order of service, you'll find a responsive prayer. We welcome the flame of hope and courage, dynamic and changing, showing the path. The chalice, a holding place for friendship to flourish, for the heat of intelligent discussion, the friction of disagreement, a vibrancy and joy in our respectful and reasoning community. A candle made by the artistry of bees and humans, giving ourselves joyfully to the quest, burning out like the sun. As our planet Earth orbits the fiery sun within the vast infinity of the cosmos, and in the tilt of its seasons of darkness and light, heat and cold, we give thanks for the gift of life. We are conscious of the deep mystery of oneness that draws us into the harmony of beauty, goodness, and truth. May we find renewed focus and be set free from all that is unhealed within us, making our prayer with truthful hearts. Teach us to respect and love our planet home. Amen. And now Jill is going to be leading us in our story for all ages, Spirit.
It's written by Cherry Ryan and the artwork is Christina Booth. People often don't recognise the artists of children's book work. I built a ship from this and that. I named her Spirit. Could Spirit sail? I knew she could. I carried her to the garden. The breeze filled her handkerchief sails. Spirit's tiny rudder steered her and she glided across the miniature sea. I whisked her up in a victory dance. That night, I oiled Spirit's hull and I smoothed her mast. Her timbers glistened in the moonlight and I wondered, could Spirit sail across the creek? I knew she could. Spirit stood tall as I lowered her into the water. Spirit bobbed and dipped and rode the currents, then sailed into my arms. That night, I polished her deck and tightened her sails. Could Spirit ride the river? I knew she could. At dawn, I launched her from the river's edge. Be brave, I whispered, and blew into her sails. Spirit wobbled and weaved, but her rudder stayed true, and her bow led the way. The river swept her along. I raced beside Spirit to the bridge, but she sailed around the bend. Jagged rocks loomed ahead. The water frothed and churned. Look out, I cried. Spirit tipped and tacked, but crash. Her starboard side rammed against a rock. Rip! Her sails were torn and tattered. Crack! Her timbers shattered. I lunged for her, but Spirit capsized and disappeared beneath the bridge. No! I stumbled to the riverbank. Spirit! Spirit! I searched for her, left and right. Where was she? There, I plummeted into the reeds. I lifted my broken Spirit and cradled her. All through the night, I tended her. I mended her from this and that. By morning, I knew Spirit was not broken. She was stronger. My Spirit was stronger than ever before.
Well, thank you, Jill, and thank you to our young people. As I'm sure that you know all too well, the word Spirit comes from the word breath. And in our second story today, read by Peter, we're going to hear about another kind of Spirit breaking through.
There were once two neighbours who farmed adjacent farms. They had once been friends, but they had quarrelled bitterly, and now they refused to speak to each other. One day the spirit of spite flew down and whispered in one neighbour's ear, Let's dig a deep trench between your land and your neighbours so that he can never cut across to your side. And so this was duly done. The other neighbour watched angrily as this deep, wide trench sliced the land decisively in two. The spirit of spite, pleased with his work, then went to the other neighbour and whispered in his ear, "See what a spiteful thing your neighbour has done. Let's build a high fence between you and your properties so that you can no longer have to see his farm from your side." And so the second neighbour called on a travelling carpenter to come and build a fence. When the carpenter arrived, he could see at once where the problem lay. Taking the planks of wood, the nails, the hammer, the saw that the farmer gave him, he set about his task while the farmer went to market. But when the farmer returned that evening, he found not a fence, but a bridge. Not only firmly constructed across the trench, but even being beautifully carved and finished. Before he could protest, to his great astonishment, he saw his neighbour approaching across the bridge, hand outstretched. "After my spiteful action in digging the trench between us," the neighbour said, "you have offered friendship in the form of this beautiful bridge. Let us shake hands and let bygones be bygones, and from now on we shall not just be neighbours, but friends." And then they noticed the carpenter who was walking off into the distance. They called after him and invited him to stay for supper. "I would love to," he said, "but I must move on. I have many more bridges to build." And with that, he was gone.
Friends, as we reflect on spirit, as we reflect on reinventing the wheel, sometimes we need to find creative ways of breaking destructive cycles, reinventing relationships. And that's also a gentle reminder that in our Unitarian tradition, we are rather inspired by our first century carpenter, Yeshua of Nazareth. We're now going to move on to our next interlude, also by Tchaikovsky.
Thank you.
Please feel free to come and share joys and concerns. We gather these joys and concerns into a short reflection, a prayer from the Shinto tradition. Shinto is an ancient Japanese spirituality, distorted and corrupted in the 19th and 20th century, but now returned to its source. It speaks of the call to live in harmony with the ancestral spirits of the land, however we may understand those. Although the people living across the ocean surrounding us, I believe, are all our brothers and sisters, why are there constant troubles in this world? Why do winds and waves rise in the ocean surrounding us? I only earnestly wish that the wind will soon puff away all the clouds which are hanging over the tops of the mountains. From Rilke's Book of Hours, I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? That was from Rilke's Book of Hours, translated by the Buddhist poet and teacher Joanna Macy and Anita Burrows from the German. The philosopher Plato talked about time as a moving image of eternity, a wheel, a circle, an image. The center in some form does not move. And then it radiates out into a multiplicity, the spokes of the wheel or the shape of a wheel that is set in motion. A flywheel, for example, moves slowly. It is of immense weight, but holds and stores immense power. And I don't know about you, but I see in our Unitarian Universalist wheel a sacred center holding the human person, flowing in and out of the secular. Secular means in the world, into action, a holistic yin-yang of reciprocity and relationship, an inhalation, an exhalation. The ancient philosopher and historian Plutarch tells us that Rome was created with a ploughed circle at the center of an upright stake. And from this we get the word urban, from orbis, which is sacred circle. And the word for the circle, mundus, was said to be the sacred city reflected by earthly cities. That is, that the relationships that we have in this life reflect a higher and hidden implicate order in the cosmos. And this has been reflected most recently in the work of the scientist and philosopher Bernard Kastrup. He says that the life that we live is primarily universal consciousness, out of which the material world emerges for our comprehension. The stake at the center of the circle of which Plutarch spoke, we might see in those ancient European standing stones that you may have seen in Europe or in Britain, particularly Stonehenge, setting out that understanding of a geometrical universe of meaning. Or if you come from a more Buddhist tradition, one of the symbols used in Tibetan Buddhism is the three-sided dagger meeting in a point, indicating the multidimensional nature of the universe, a sacred circle. And equally, the Celtic cross, the wheel or the circle intersected by a cross of four equal sides, surrounded by intricate carving, an expression of relationships, the unity of the sacred center amid an ever-changing world. Like the breath, the tides, the seasons of the moon, and the tides of the human body, life is a flow, a circling, a wheeling around the stillness, the sacred center, often forgotten. The poet Rainer Maria Rilke, of which I've read the poem just a moment ago, lived a wandering life enriched by a series of deep and intimate relationships, including with the sculptor Rodin, with whom he worked for some years. Like many of us, he wrestled with a Christian identity, a dualistic kind of Christian faith, which has more trenches than bridges. But as a young man, Rilke, at the age of 21, met a remarkable mentor, Lou Andreas Salome, with whom the philosopher Nietzsche had a long and lifetime unrequited love. Lou Andreas Salome was a beautiful 36-year-old Russian woman of deep intellect living in a platonic marriage with an older German professor. Together they traveled to Russia, and that became a turning point for Rilke, because there he was exposed to a spirituality far more different from his own. And from that encounter stemmed that beautiful book of poetry called The Book of Hours. He took on in that book a different kind of persona, that of the Russian monk living in a monastery, living by the rhythm of the days and the seasons. It awoke in him a desire to know and be known by the sacred center, which he called God. We might call it love or ultimate meaning. It was for him a transformative awakening, and it took place alongside that awakening through his deep relationship with Lou Andreas Salome. A human deepening that Jung called the anima and animus, the two sources of wisdom, drawing forth a sense of integration between the spiritual and the sensual, the sexual and the world of relationships. Joanna Macy and Anita Burrows have translated this book into English from the German. You may know German enough well to read the original text. In a certain sense, it's a reinvention of the text, seeking to be faithful to the words, but to retain the beauty. Both of these women have a long contemplative engagement with Jewish and Christian paths, to a more deeply contemplative engagement with the world, and certainly with Joanna Macy, a prophetic author on learning to love the world and to be engaged with it and to change it for the better and to see it less as a battleground than a place of encounter. But Anita Burrows, the poet, says, "I am in the world to love the world. I am in the world to love the world." And this resonates so much in the poetry by Rilke, The Book of Hours, set against what he saw as a rising storm of human conflict and industrial degradation, leading in his age to the Great War of 1914 to 18. I've suggested that there are three themes that we might draw out of this one poem set before us. We might once again surrender or give ourselves to the sacred centre, both within ourselves and within the cosmos of which we are a part. And that action moves me and perhaps you away from the desire to control or make everything about my sense of identity or self-worth. It is a living from the realm of the spirit. How might this be translated for you? Well, for example, many of the rituals that we participate here in this building, the lighting of the chalice, the candles, the responsive prayers, some which I've included here so that you can take them home and use them. We can create our own home altar, our sacred place, things that mean something to us. Places for reverie, daydreaming, creative work in the garden, the kitchen, or the shed. Writing or playing music, designing or engineering things that bring us or others joy. And did you know that the engineer who designed that incredible bridge, that lifting of the canal boats up through the forces of gravity, made it in Lego? And Lego has left many remarkable inventions and creativity for women and for men. For many of us, it may mean less screen time, doom scrolling, which often provides us with a series of images without any sense of engagement, a sense of impotence or rage rather than participation. Prayer, meditation, a creation of the sacred, nourishes what the philosopher and neuroscientist Ian McGilchrist, in his book The Master and the Emissary, says that we begin to live from our true centre and not be subject to a brain that is always over-analysing everything and sorting things into trenches rather than into bridges. There are places for trenches for sure, but bridges must reign supreme. Faced with climate change and change within our own life, how can we find a sense of balance and of creativity? Rilke says, "I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it." For many of us, our lives will end before the full impact of climate change collides with our globe. But there are still things that we can do to make a difference. And that difference, I suggest, begins with a sense of the relationship that we have with ourselves. Secondly, become a stranger to yourself. Rilke writes later, "Who is living it then? Is it the things themselves, or is something waiting inside them like an unplayed melody or a flute?" There is a virtue in not knowing, in living with uncertainty, with a focus on the present and the here and now, reminding us that we are responsible to others and usually not for others. We are responsible for ourselves. And also for children and those unable to care fully for themselves. That is our duty of care. But in learning the distinction between responsibility for self and responsibility to others, that sets us free to healthy relationships. That word responsible we can split into response-able. And a spiritual community like this church nurtures this, a place of gentle, not hard-edged questioning, a place of exploration, bridge making, personal integration, healing. A leadership facilitating a deep dive into life-giving faiths and traditions, keeping our Unitarian Universalist faith alive and vibrant to be handed on to the future. Which, of course, is what the word tradition means, isn't it? It is a handing on to the future. Ask the question of yourself, how may I become more strange to myself? And often I find that strangeness through conversations with others, books, and work in which I am engaged that helps break me free from the self-images that may not always be very useful. In our poem, we see the far-seeing hunter falcon, the electrical storm clearing the air, or the beauty of the great song. And this describes each one of us, doesn't it? We all have a great song to sing. Storm sometimes rages, but we are a falcon soaring and hunting at the same time. And thirdly, the circle. When I lived many years ago a monastic life in Oxford for 2 years, not as a monk but as a seminarian, I lived a life summoned by bells, silence, tradition, slow unhurried movement along cloisters, traditions, slow-moving, incense-filled masses, plain chant alongside the agony of living in community with 70 others from around the world, mostly men and also mostly gay. Passing of the seasons, saints, colours in the church, a rhythm of prayer, the book of hours, every week flowing from Sunday, the resurrection, feasting and fasting, university lectures, internship at a local school and large university hospital. All of these things flowed in and out from the sacred centre to the edge. But how may we reinvent some of our ancestral practices for today in ways that ring true and assist us in living integrated lives? This is the question of myself, circling around the primordial tower. Maybe it's the question for you and this community. How do we see Unitarian Universalist churches thriving into the future? Has the baby been thrown out with the bathwater of modernity? How do we engage well and honestly with the riches of the saints and sinners of our tradition, the makers and doers of the past, to allow community today to flourish and become more diverse and more integrated? So I came up with this image to conclude the reflection today. Sometimes I'm a bit too much like a supermarket trolley, a bit all over the place. But I'd like to select another image, one that you can look up if you are curious. There's something called the Long Now Foundation. The Long Now Foundation. It began in 1998, and it is a mechanical clock, and it's designed to keep the time through slowly turning wheels for 10,000 years to come. So may you be more like a slow-moving flywheel, full of power and creativity. I circle around God, the primordial tower. I may not complete the last one, but I give myself to it. And as you receive your sprig of rosemary, which Jenny, I think, has provided, you might want to look at it and smell it and touch it with your fingers. There's plenty to take for other people as well. We commemorate our ancestors in 16th century Poland, Lithuania, and Transylvania. But before them, men and women of all ages called Heretics Who Pursued the Truth. We think about Michael Servetus, executed in Calvin's Geneva, and Catherine Vogel, burned at Krakow. Theophilus Lindsay, another Anglican priest. We get up to all sorts of things, don't we? Joseph Priestley, I once preached in his pulpit in Ipswich. The Scientist, and so many others down the years. And we think of Catherine Spence and John Dowie here in Adelaide, and the preaching of the Reverend John Crawford Woods, and many other sinners and saints. So let us say together, we give our thanks for women and men who have lit the way, and for Unitarian Universalists throughout the world. Well, I should say women and men and others, shouldn't we? And we remember family members and friends who have died. We remember those unknown to us who have died with no one to pray for them. Those who have died oppressed and excluded by religion, and those who have taken their own lives. Our thanks and our hope. Remember the gift of life entrusting to us. And a moment of silence to remember. We prepare to leave the sacred circle around which we gather in joyful yet often serious sacred conversations. We commit ourselves anew to the quest of inner spiritual growth and spiritual service. Amen. And that's us dancing our way out and moving into the postlude.
We hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.